Now from the KSFR Newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, September 18th.
Mounting frustration with the Human Services Department's cutoff of Medicaid payments to in-state providers of behavioral health services has now seen the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government file a lawsuit. The organization, dedicated to transparency in government, wants release of the audit which set the cutoffs in motion, saying the report is too important to the citizens of New Mexico to be kept from public view. HSD has refused to release its data, saying it would jeopardize the active investigation by the Attorney General's office. Fogg says the burden is on the AG's office to substantiate that. The advantages of Santa Fe owning its own electric utility will be explored this afternoon at a public forum at the Scottish Rite Temple. Proponents of city ownership, including a former vice president of the city-owned utility in Austin, Texas, and former Santa Fe County Commissioner Paul Campos, will lead the discussion, which begins today at 5:30. New Mexicans are now hearing about the state's new health insurance exchange preparing for its October 1st launch. A public awareness campaign targets small businesses and individuals. Officials say that radio ads promoting the initial sign-up of Obamacare will be airing this week and that billboards are also planned. Additionally, TV ads are to air in 2 weeks. The exchange is targeting small businesses first. Individuals will be able to sign up through a federal exchange for the next year. As expected, Santa Fe School Board has formally approved changes to Atalaya Elementary School's gymnasium. The gym is part of $13 million in total renovation of the school's campus, and that had angered neighborhood residents who said the building was too tall and placed in an area where it would block views. Santa Fe Schools agreed to a reconfiguration that will cost about $500,000 to accommodate. The state and owners of the Santa Fe's Los Solaris development will resume talks on a plan that would lead to a 20-acre office complex for the State Human Services Department and other state agencies. The Richardson administration had reached a tentative agreement back in 2010 for the Los Solaris development, but then incoming Governor Susana Martinez delayed the closing. More details in today's New Mexican. Federal aviation legislation passed by Congress will see the FAA's Airport Improvement Program provide a combined $7.5 million for projects at Albuquerque Sunport and the Santa Fe Municipal Airport. The Sunport will get $5 million for rehabilitation of an existing taxiway, while Santa Fe gets $2.5 million for the construction of a new one. The New Mexico Attorney General's office says there was no discrimination against African Americans when the legislature last year failed to pass $2 million worth of funding for after-school tutoring efforts. The Albuquerque NAACP last spring condemned the failure of lawmakers to approve the funding for tutoring. According to the Albuquerque Journal, the AG's office has told the group that there was no intentional slight when lawmakers didn't grant a hearing for the program. Senator Martin Heinrich's office is drawing attention to remarks the senator has made in voicing support of a proposed energy efficiency bill. Heinrich points to significant energy efficiency advances made here in New Mexico at the Brackish Groundwater National Desalination Research Facility in Alamogordo and at Sandia National Laboratories. The Senate's Shaheen Portman bill would have the Department of Energy work with the private sector to encourage further development of such cost-saving and efficient technologies. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny today with a high of 75 and a 30% chance for late-day showers and thunderstorms. Some clouds overnight with lows in the mid-50s. Sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s and only a 10% chance for afternoon showers. For KSFR News, I'm Tom Tropebridge.
Thank you, Tom. And a couple of additional local items we're following for you today. From PNM comes word that seven of their employees from Santa Fe and Las Vegas have joined the American Red Cross Disaster Relief in Las Vegas, where they'll help to assess the property damage caused by recent heavy rains and flooding. The PNM team, who normally work on power lines, became the newest Red Cross volunteers after receiving Red Cross damage assessment training. The Red Cross says they expect their disaster mitigation efforts to continue for some weeks. And this next item also related to disaster relief. Attorney General Gary King is warning New Mexicans to be wary of scams that falsely solicit funds to help victims of recent flooding here in our state and in neighboring Colorado. King says it's fairly common after natural disasters that scam artists begin tugging at heartstrings to entice unsuspecting people to give money to victims. The AG is advising people to be smart about donating by asking questions and guarding their personal financial information. King also advises folks to be wary of charities that seem to have sprung up overnight in connection with current events. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by PNM Resources Foundation, celebrating 30 years of giving back with $300,000 in grants to communities across New Mexico. The foundation announces that the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute has been awarded a grant to install a water filtration system at the Farmers Market Hall. Construction will start soon. For updates about all of the grant recipients, follow PNM on Facebook.
Minutes past the hour here at KSFR as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. Last year, Albuquerque voters passed an increase in the city's minimum wage from $7.50 an hour to $8.50. Now, some people are saying the new law is not being adhered to, even though voters approved the measure. Joining us now is Ken Sanchez, who's on Albuquerque City Council and is one of those complaining about the lack of enforcement. Mr. Sanchez, tell us about what the law says and what is actually happening with pay in Albuquerque.
Well, basically, last November, the voters of Albuquerque went out and there was a referendum regarding the minimum wage to increase that minimum wage from $7.50 to $8.50 an hour. Here we are almost 12 months later, and we are receiving calls in our office, our city attorney is receiving calls. And there are some businesses in Albuquerque that are not enforcing the new minimum wage law. And 66% of the people said, we want this done. The law is the law in Albuquerque. And I just do not feel the city of Albuquerque is enforcing that law. And what is happening is if they call the attorney's office, you know, he's saying you've got to hire an attorney. Well, most people making $8.50 an hour can't afford an attorney. That is one of the problems. And right now, the way the current law reads, it states that the city attorney may enforce this law, and I don't feel they're doing enough.
And you plan to present an amendment to the law. What does that call for?
The provision that I am looking at introducing is an amendment to the bill, and this would basically establish a criminal penalty for the violation of the Albuquerque minimum wage law. Also, I am going to ask the council to... And I think this is very important, at a hotline where people can call and find out what their rights are. And also in the new language, it will state that the city attorney will enforce the minimum wage law.
Is the main reason employers are reluctant to pay the wage simply the concern it will lower profits?
I think that's probably the case. And I'm sure that in this economy, some of the businesses are struggling, and that's always a concern for me. We have an accounting practice, and we see some of the struggles that some of the businesses have. However, when you've got a law in place, you've got to adjust some of your expenditures to, you know, make sure you can make that payroll. But I know it's very, very difficult for businesses, but, you know, we're asking that people get paid $8.50 an hour. That is still not a livable wage.
And Mayor Berry has responded that the city is enforcing the new law.
Basically, three counselors, myself, Counselor Ray Garduño, and Counselor Benton, this is probably about 4 months ago, called a news conference because we were very concerned because this was not going on. Well, then they finally decided to sue one of the malt shops here in Albuquerque. They have filed a total of one lawsuit against businesses that have not enforced this legislation. So for him to say that they have enforced it is not the truth.
What criminal penalties are you recommending?
The potential fines could be a $500 fine and or up to 90 days in jail.
Any idea about how your colleagues on council will respond to your proposed amendment?
I would hope that they would be favorable. We have a law in the books, and it should be the responsibility of the city of Albuquerque to enforce the laws.
And should the measure not pass the council, what would your next step be?
Well, I feel very strongly that, that they will support this legislation. I think it's not out of the ordinary that if you have a law in place, you as a municipality should enforce that law. When we took the oath of office, we stated that we would uphold the laws of the United States of America and the Constitution of the laws of the state of New Mexico and the laws of the city of Albuquerque. And I feel that this is a law, and it's our responsibility to make sure that these laws are upheld.
Do you expect opposition from Mayor Berry on this?
Well, I mean, he made the statement that this was political. This will not be voted on until after the October election. So I've been working on this now for some time, and some of the other councillors have also been looking at this. You know, when you get calls to your office, and people are afraid to come out publicly because they're afraid of retaliation, and they're afraid they're going to lose their job. And people should not be afraid to speak out when this is what they're entitled to for a day's work.
And what recommendations do you have for citizens of Albuquerque regarding the minimum wage law?
I think it's important that they call the city attorney's office. They continue to call our office if their rights are being violated and they are not paid the minimum wage.
Santa Fe has increased the minimum wage. Have you looked into how and why it's been relatively successful here?
We really looked at the Santa Fe law very carefully because we felt that the Santa Fe law was being enforced by the city. And our staff also talked to your city attorney regarding the legislation that we have implemented. So we are kind of looking at Santa Fe as one that took the lead in assuring that their citizens were paid the minimum wage.
Albuquerque City Councilor Ken Sanchez, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Take the High Road and experience fine art in northern New Mexico this fall. It's the 16th annual High Road Art Tour, offering world-class work with over 70 artists and craftspersons, opening their home and studios on the High Road to Taos Scenic Byway, September 21st and 22nd, 28th and 29th. Maps and more information at highroadnewmexico.com or call 888-866-3643. That's highroadnewmexico.com. A message from the tax-exempt High Road Artisans.
19 minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. The face of healthcare is rapidly changing. One New Mexico group pays particular attention to the delivery of medical care in our state and the people who provide it. Deborah Busmeyer is with the Con Alma Health Foundation and joins us now. Deborah, let's start by having you explain to us what is Con Alma.
It is New Mexico's largest private foundation, and we're dedicated solely to improving health in New Mexico. So we want to improve people's health status and their access to getting health care services. We advocate for health policies to address unmet health needs in New Mexico. We've been around for 12 years giving grants to nonprofits that are working on sustainable solutions to improving health, as well as really partnering and investing in our communities, supporting nonprofits, and advocating for all.
What do you see as the major challenges New Mexico will face in the next few years regarding health care?
Well, one of our greatest challenges is always poverty. We have been learning more about how social determinants, the place where you live, affects your health. Zip code matters, so we need to work to improve our poverty rates, to help lift people out of poverty and improve access to health care. Obviously, with health care reform, we're going to see an increase of access. We also have to make sure we have enough providers who can care for our community. That includes making sure that they can meet all the cultural needs of New Mexico.
And what, if anything, are we doing right in the state?
So I think increasing access to Medicaid is going to help folks who are living in poverty who haven't been able to get health care services. And the state's working hard now to get the health insurance exchange going. And again, that will increase access to health care. We have a lot of folks working in different areas to improve people's access to healthy foods, such as farm-to-table is one example in Santa Fe. They're trying to improve students' meals in schools and working in rural communities.
Tell us about that upcoming acknowledgement by Con Alma of New Mexicans striving to make medical care better.
We are looking for heroes of health, and we're asking people to nominate folks they know who work to improve health in New Mexico. Heroes can come from all walks of life, and we are especially interested in those who are unsung heroes, people who really give of their time to make a difference in New Mexico. Healthcare providers, policymakers, people who are administrators or advocates. Last year, we made an exception and awarded two heroes of health because we just couldn't decide. It was too hard. And we had one person, an Angel Fire, who had started a really amazing program for veterans to help them heal. And we also awarded something to a person in Las Cruces who had worked with folks in the Colonias and trying to improve drinking water and enhancing the diets of Mexican Americans. So it can be anyone. And we know that people work tirelessly in New Mexico to really improve health.
How can people nominate a healthcare hero?
You can go to our website, www.conalma.org. We're accepting nominations for about a month until October 15th. You can also call us for more information. We have an online form that's really easy to fill out. And then we're going to have a selection committee review all of the nominations, and we will pick a hero, and we will award $1,000 to a New Mexico nonprofit of that person's choice.
Deborah Busmeyer with the Con Alma Foundation, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue with more features for you in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Greenfire Times, a new monthly publication focusing on all things green, including health, healing, organic foods, nutrition, permaculture, sustainability, green-collar jobs, and renewable energy. Greenfire Times is distributed at newsstands from Albuquerque to Taos. More information and an online edition can be found at greenfiretimes.com.
23 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. As the Hispanic percentage of New Mexico's population is rising, more and more Hispanic-owned businesses are cropping up. Here to discuss the matter with us is Diana Real with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Diana, how many Hispanic businesses are there in New Mexico?
From a percentage standpoint, there are, back to 2007, that's the latest data that we have available. New Mexico Hispanic-owned businesses comprise 23.7% of all businesses, which actually leads all states in the U.S. There was an interesting fact that I was able to learn as I researched some of this information, and between 1997 and 2007, there was a 133% increase in Hispanic women-owned businesses in the United States. In fact, 1 in 10 of all women-owned businesses across the country are owned by Hispanic women. So that's rather notable from the standpoint of growth between 1997 and 2007, just in that particular segment.
And how are those businesses doing?
Economically, I mean, all businesses are facing challenges, as most businesses do in these kinds of economic times. But I think it's rather notable that in spite of the challenges we face, entrepreneurs continue to seek opportunities, find growth opportunities, and that's Hispanic and non-Hispanic as well. So there are challenges, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we face economic challenges from all fronts, but the growth continues. Entrepreneurs continue to seek opportunities, and that's a positive sign. But one of the interesting things, you know, when you think about the growth of Hispanic business, you know, kind of takes me back to the growth of the Hispanic population. You probably know this, but according to the 2012 U.S. Census, there were over 53 million people of Hispanic origin in the United States. So that's as of 2012, which is 17% of the nation's total population. From a growth standpoint, by the year 2060, the Hispanic population will be 128 million. That's the projection, which will be about 31% of the nation's population. So when you think about, you know, the growth of Hispanic-owned businesses, there is a correlation between the growth of the population, simply because of the nature of the growth of the population correlates back to the growth of Hispanic-owned businesses.
You mentioned the tough economy. What other challenges are Hispanic business owners facing?
Things. I think, you know, I think like all businesses, access to capital is important. There's a lot of different resources and available for small business owners, you know, like Acción and access to resources through the SBA. Also, for like all you probably hear in the state of New Mexico, we need qualified, educated employees. And again, that's another challenge we face in the state, which, of course, is something that here at the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber, we're very focused on education through our efforts that we've had in the creation of the Hispanic Education Act, which was implemented several years ago, and our focus on education and trying to help our educators in our state to increase our graduation rate among Hispanic kids. That's another challenge. That's important to all businesses, but also to entrepreneurs to have a strong, educated work base. Well, I believe that Hispanic-owned businesses will continue to grow, no doubt. I also think that we will continue to see the phenomenal rate of increase in Hispanic-owned businesses, especially among women, Hispanic women-owned businesses in the state of New Mexico. I think we'll continue to see growth in both aspects.
And what's one thing you would like to see to aid the businesses?
Probably significant improvement in the economy in the state, probably from the standpoint of growth in our GDP, growth in, and maybe removal of some of the, right now, some of the constraints and some of the concerns that have been put in place as a result of sequestration.
It appears that the minimum wage in Bernalillo County is going up. What sort of impact might that have?
Well, I think that can go both ways. I think that you might be able to attract, you know, a stronger workforce, a more qualified, retain a more motivated employee. But at the same time, it impacts a small business's costs.
And how can people get in touch with you for more information and perhaps some assistance?
You can reach us at www.ahcnm.org, or you can call us at area code 505-842-9003.
Diana Real with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Hello, this is Tom O'Connor, music director and conductor of Santa Fe Pro Musica, inviting you to join us for the opening of our 32nd season. On September 19th in St. Francis Auditorium, award-winning pianist and composer Conrad Tao performs his music, as well as music of Bach, Prokofiev, and Rachmaninoff. And on September 21st and 22nd, he performs as concerto soloist in the Lenzic with the Pro Musica Orchestra and concertos of Mozart and Shostakovich. Among his many awards is the 2012 Avery Fisher Career Grant and Forbes list of 30 under 30. But more important than any of the awards is the way Conrad Tao communicates with his audiences. It's direct, unaffected, and riveting. Join us for the opening of Santa Fe Pro Musica's 32nd season. Tickets are available through the Pro Musica box office at 988-4640 or online at santafepromusica.com. Pro Musica is a tax-exempt organization.
In the past several days, some New Mexico wildlife has shown up in our cities and towns. Here with the story is KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard.
In recent days, some New Mexico urban areas have been visited by hairy, hungry, uninvited guests. No, I don't mean Cousin Waldo and his pet ferret, Fido. I'm speaking of bears. Rachel Shockley is with the Department of Game and Fish.
Yeah, we're seeing a little bit of bear activity, maybe a little bit higher than we saw last year. But it is cyclical. We've seen years that have been a little more active than this, and of course we see years that are less active. The only thing that's consistent is that bears come into Santa Fe, and they come into other urban areas in New Mexico, because New Mexico has great bear habitat and a really healthy and growing, probably growing, bear population.
Not unlike Cousin Waldo, movements of bears are often motivated by an empty stomach.
Bears are very motivated by food, and so usually with humans, they're a little bit shy. They don't enjoy being around human populations, but if they smell something that they think is food, or if they have been able to find food in town, then they'll come into town to forage. They eat anything that has calories or anything they think that has calories, and that'll include ripening garbage sitting in your dumpster or bird feeders, including hummingbird feeders. That's a great source of calories. That sugar water has a lot of calories in it. So they'll come in and try to find things to eat.
A hungry bear may pose a threat for smaller pets.
They are predators, and so if they think there's an opportunity to eat an animal, including a pet, then they will. They are known to sometimes eat chickens. If you have a small dog or a cat, it's a really good idea in places like Santa Fe to make sure that pet's indoors at night when bears are a little more comfortable coming into town.
This is the typical time for bears to come into urban areas.
This would be the normal time of year for them to be coming into town. Right now, we're seeing a slight drop in bear interactions with humans, as some of those natural food sources that are high in calories become more ripe, specifically acorns. It's a really important New Mexico food source for our New Mexico black bears. Right now, we are seeing bears go through what's called hyperphagia, where they're very interested in food. They have to put on a lot of calories in order to be able to den through the winter. And so right now, they're very interested in food. And so we'll still see bears coming into town probably up until they den, but it should be decreasing amount of bears.
If you should encounter a bear, Shockley has some specific advice.
It just depends on kind of where your yard is. Let's say that you're right along the mountains. You've got a wonderful piece of property in Santa Fe that butts up against great bear habitat. In that instance, it's probably not anything unusual for a bear to be near your yard or in your yard. If you're in the middle of town, then that's going to be a pretty different story. So if you see a bear, you want to make sure that you're not in danger. And if you feel in danger, then you can definitely call Game and Fish or call the police department. If it's just hanging out doing bear stuff, then what we recommend is that you leave the bear alone, and usually it'll kind of wander off. The other thing we recommend is that you kind of examine your yard or your neighbor's yard and see if there's something that might have drawn the bear to that location. Since they are afraid of people, it's something usually that's drawn them there. And so you can look for garbage, pet food, bird feeders. And if it's in your neighbor's yard, then that's something that might be valuable for you to know about, that there's a known bear attractant in the area.
Rachel Shockley with the Department of Game and Fish.
Bear aware activities are very effective at lessening negative interactions that humans have with bears. And it can really help bears stay out of trouble.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:34 here in the KSFR Newsroom. Here at the bottom of the hour is the best time, we think, to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I'm amazed at the number of dating websites out there, or maybe that should be in there. It is, after all, the internet, not the outernet. It seems there's a dating website for every category of people and subcategories and so on and so forth. But it all got me to thinking. The reason there are so many different dating websites has to be that there's lots of money to be made. And I'm starting to think I should get on some of that dating action. That sounded all wrong, didn't it? But I'm going to start my very own dating website. What do you think? Pretty cool idea, no? Within months, I should be rolling in the dough donated by searching singles. While convinced of my upcoming financial success, I am a little perplexed about what to call my dating website. My choices are cutecurmudgeon.com or cuddlycurmudgeon.com. Hello? Is anybody there? For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude this edition of At Noon, KSFR's Extended Noon News Hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk. With many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Tom Trowbridge and Charles Maynard.